listener production.
Boeing 737 woes continue. Crossbenches rail against staff cuts, RBA review to rethink board, and Northern Territory launches into space industry. From the Saturday Paper and Listener, this is Post, News in 5, written by Max O'Prey. I'm Nina Copel, and here's your news headlines for today, Monday, June 27. Number 1. Labor and Liberal politicians have issued a bipartisan condemnation of the US Supreme Court's ruling allowing states to ban abortion, though access to the procedure remains difficult in parts of Australia. The US Supreme Court on Friday overturned the half-century-old Roe v. Wade case, which granted women the right to terminate a pregnancy. Australia's Minister for Women, Katie Gallagher, and Liberal Deputy Leader Susan Lee both condemned the verdict. LNP Senator Matt Canavan was one of a minority of Australian politicians to back the ruling, tweeting, "A wonderful day to protect human life." Abortion has not been fully decriminalised across Australia, with South Australia only set to do so on July 7, and aspects of the procedure still within the criminal code in Western Australia. Experts warn the gestational age limit for medical abortions differs in every state, creating further confusion and barriers to access. Surgical abortion is mostly available only in urban areas of Australia, meaning regional patients face increased costs to cover travel, accommodation, and time off work. Only 10% of Australian GPs are registered to provide medical abortions, with high levels of stigma around the procedure. In 2020, it was revealed that Wagga Wagga's religious medical community is tying the hands of pro-choice doctors. The US joins Russia and Poland as countries to recently crack down on abortion access, while Ireland, Colombia, and Argentina have eased restrictions. Democrat progressives have called for US President Joe Biden to offer federal land as a safe haven for abortion in states that ban the practice. Number 2. Boeing's troubled 737 MAX planes have experienced multiple mid-air emergencies and dozens of groundings in the year after the conclusion of an extensive probe sparked by two deadly crashes. Pilots declared mid-air emergencies at least six times last year after being cleared to fly again following crashes off Indonesia in 2018 and in Ethiopia in 2019, which killed 346 people. The flight control system also failed on 22 separate flights, the same problem identified on the two planes that crashed. Both planes suffered a malfunction in flight control software, with Boeing fined $3.5 billion after it was found to have deceived authorities over the system's complexities. In one particularly unusual incident, fuel was found leaking into an overhead passenger bin. In an internal email, a Boeing engineer boasted of using Jedi mind tricks to get the potentially dangerous software in the MAX past regulators. Whistleblowers have reported incredible pressure faced by workers to meet demands at the Boeing plant, with corners cut and persistent manufacturing problems. A Boeing spokesperson said the in-service reliability of the 737 MAX is consistent with other commercial airplane models and has flown 580,000 revenue flights since November 2020. Virgin Australia has ordered 4 MAX 8s, the same model that crashed twice, and 25 of the newer MAX 10s, which are yet to take to the skies. Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority said it could not respond to incidents reported to US authorities unless the incidents involved an Australian aircraft or pilot. Number 3. Federal ministers have defended staff cuts to crossbench MPs and senators despite threats from minor parties that they will block bills in retaliation. The Albanese government has announced it will cut additional crossbench advisers from 4 to 1. One Nation and Senators Jackie Lambie and David Pocock threatened to block government bills, saying they will lack the staff to properly consider them. Education Minister Jason Clare defended the move, arguing that crossbenchers still have one additional staff member compared to Labor or Liberal MPs. He added that government staffing had been cut by $1.5 million and opposition staffing by $350,000. Deputy Liberal leader Susan Lee said crossbench MPs and senators had to look at every piece of legislation and get across numerous different issues without the support of a party structure. With Senate numbers now locked in, the Albanese government needs 13 crossbenchers to vote with it for legislation to clear the upper house. Number 4. An independent review of the Reserve Bank will consider whether it is representative enough of the community and key voices, Treasurer Jim Chalmers has revealed. Chalmers on Sunday said the review will consider whether the board has the right gender, geographic, and key stakeholder representation. The current 9-person board includes 2 members with ties to the right-wing Centre for Independent Studies, but no one from the union, welfare, or small business sector. ACTU Secretary Sally McManus last week noted there wasn't anyone on the board involved in the wage-setting process and said a union leader should be returned to the RBA fold. The review, the first of the bank since the early 1980s, is likely to start either next month or by early August and run for about 12 months. The RBA has been broadly criticised for failing to accurately forecast the rate of wage growth, inflation, and interest rates. And number 5. NASA has successfully launched a rocket from the new spaceport in remote Northern Territory and the first commercial space launch in Australian history. The launch, which was also NASA's first from a commercial spaceport, took place at the Arnhem Space Centre on the Duplama Plateau near Nullumbi, watched on by a gathering of scientists, politicians, and Indigenous leaders. Rain and wind caused the countdown to be aborted several times before the first of the 3 scheduled rockets finally launched at about 12:30 a.m. local time on Monday. The Yolngu people hosted the Arnhem Space Centre on their land and helped build the spaceport, which is owned by Equatorial Launch Australia. The rocket is carrying an X-ray quantum calorimeter, allowing University of Michigan scientists to measure interstellar X-rays with precision to provide new data on the structure and evolution of the cosmos. That's it for Post today, Monday, June 27. Don't forget to subscribe to Post News in 5 here in the Listener app, as well as to the Politics Podcast, your daily shot of what's happening in and around Parliament House. You can also head to thesaturdaypaper.com.au to subscribe to our newsletter. Have a great day.